Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. We've been looking at this passage for the last couple of weeks, and again, right at the heart of it is that simple phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. I guess as I hear that phrase and hear it in light of the passage that we're going to look at this morning, there's a sense or a need to kind of reaffirm that phrase, as earth on earth as it is in heaven, is really sort of like the glue that holds us together. I think about that image and I think about the years I spent making furniture and the ways that in making furniture, you don't just sort of slap two pieces of wood together, kind of butt them up end to end and put some nails in them or put a couple of screws in them. You might do that, but it's not going to last very long. And certainly under stress, that kind of a joint will break. And what we hear in this text, what we see in those words is really a very different kind of joint, one of those sort of stronger finger joints you try to create, whether with a finger joint or a dovetail joint or a mortise and tenon of some sort, to try to create as much surface area as possible. So when you bring those two realities together, they're fixed. And they're there, connected. And even under stress, they will stay connected together. That phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, is like that joint in this prayer. And so we may be tempted to think that as we shift from the language of God's holy name, the language of God's kingdom come, the language of God's will be done, this sort of cosmic vision, this large language about God, that as we shift now into this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, that we think somehow the conversation has changed. That it's less about God and more maybe now about us. But I want to suggest that I think in this text and in this prayer, we come to see that the same sort of themes and trajectory is really there at the heart. That even though the pronouns may have shifted from your to us and our, a focus in a very sort of conspicuous way on God's presence and God's name and God's will and God's kingdom, and we may find it kind of surprising, this language, that it would shift from there to bread, something as mundane as that. But that really what we have is a sense to recognize and invited to see now, not this movement from the cosmic and sort of heaven leaking into our world, but now an awareness that even in the midst of our most basic needs and realities, that we actually are invited to come to see them in new ways. It's a movement, the same movement, albeit perhaps from a different starting point. If the first is an invitation for heaven to kind of leak into our very real lives, for God's kingdom to be made manifest in some tangible ways, for His will to emerge in our life, for His name to be hallowed in our life, that here we come to see an invitation from the reverse direction, that our lives, our needs, our sense and of awareness of the deep realities that mark our life, those sort of very earthy and earthly realities, that those would actually be caught up into the eternal aims and the imaginative possibilities and vision of heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We come to see kind of the compact nature of this prayer, that even in that sort of sense, we might be surprised by that trajectory, and yet it invites us to a new way of seeing even the realities of our life. And really, I want to kind of put the accent on different syllables on this very simple phrase, right? That we might hear it a little bit differently, that it might cause us to kind of perk our ears in a new way. And I imagine we hear that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, and we tend to think of it as just a position, a petition of our need, a way in which we're invited to come to God and to offer sort of, and to lay out before Him our needs, and so often it seems also our desires. But maybe we could hear a little bit differently. And so three ways that I'm hoping to kind of invite us to accent different aspects of this passage. And really, in part, the first one is the sense that we might grow in gratitude. That this might be a prayer, give us this day our daily bread, that might actually create space in our lives to be mindful of all that we have to be grateful for. But it might also, secondly, kind of remind us that this is a prayer that as we accent a different element of give us this day our daily bread, that it might give us a sense of the fragility of our lives and the dependence and the kind of a call to contentment into the in the sense of our own dependence upon God who gives good gifts, our trust in God in that way. And then thirdly, the sense that give us this day our daily bread is an invitation to generosity. Rather than that movement from sort of God to us, funneling directly to me, that ultimately it's actually an invitation to see our role in God's blessings being poured out to the world. Give us this day our daily bread. So if I put a different accent on a different part of this, maybe we'll see these more clearly. Give bread. Give bread. To look to the God who gives bread. The Westminster Shorter Catechism describes a way to sort of depicts what we're praying for when we pray the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. The answer, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. That we recognize that the God who gives bread is an invitation to grow in our own lives a heart of deep and abundant gratitude. It's an invitation to see a God who is here. That from the language of a God whose name is holy, whose kingdom is coming, whose will is being done in the world, that God, that story of that God, is a God who is in fact here, bestowing, giving, near. And so as the prayer sort of shifts vantage points, it gives us a clear sense that the Christian story and message, that the God that Jesus invites us to pray to is not a God who's simply concerned with the hereafter, but a God who is concerned with the here, with the now, and with it in a very comprehensive sense. And that bread is really meant to depict a much broader image and vision. As Martin Luther describes and often taught responding to the Lord's Prayer, he would say, everything, when we speak of bread, it means everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, family, good government and peace, and that God may preserve us from all sorts of calamities, sickness and pestilence, hard times, war, revolution, and the like. Bread really is a description that describes the just ordering of material needs and all of their breadth, because as we take up and ingest bread in our lives, we can recognize that there is a whole wealth of things beyond it. And as somebody reminded me between services, that today is in fact the kind of the winter harvest day in Kansas. Well, why somebody would know that is kind of surprising to me, but family there, and they gather on this day to celebrate that, and yet it's from the farmers to the table, that this is sort of Jesus being kind of trendy before it was trendy to go farm to table, right? This invitation to pray for daily bread is to recognize that God's hand is in the midst of all of that, that whole trajectory and movement. And really what Dale Bruner, theologian, calls, this is a political and economic prayer as much as it's a material sustenance prayer. It's that all those systems would be in place to enable bread to get to people. And we know that in our world that doesn't always happen for everyone. But maybe that's getting ahead of myself a little bit. Because first, this is a prayer that as we offer it, as it rolls off our tongue, it's an invitation to not just let it roll off our lives as just some sense of entitlement and expectancy. And for most of us, isn't that how our meals and our means happen? It just happens. But as we utter this prayer, to perhaps be mindful and to see that this happens because of God's goodness, because of His abundant blessing. As the Heidelberg Catechism also says in response to this question and teaching on this part of the prayer, be pleased to provide us with all our daily needs, so that we may acknowledge that Thou art the source of all that is good, and that without Your blessing, neither our care or our labor nor Thy gifts can do us any good, but they all come from God, that they might grow in us a sense of gratitude. A gratitude, too, that awakens in us a deep sense of trust. And perhaps we don't always live with that same kind of tenuousness, wondering where it will come from. But here is an invitation to recognize trust. Give bread this day. This day. And are our lives ordered in such a way that we look to God to give blessings for this day? Do we trust Him and acknowledge that He's able to provide enough for this day? And that while many of us are consumed with worries for tomorrow, that in fact, the invitation here in this prayer is to focus on the God who provides for this day, to grow in trust in a God who provides for this day. Our necessary bread. It's in that sense that this prayer invites us to kind of hearken back to the image of the Israelites in the wilderness, and perhaps times of wilderness in our own lives. Maybe it's not bread, but some other thing that we don't know if God will deliver. And here in this prayer, we're invited to acknowledge that there is a God that we can trust and entrust ourselves to. As the Israelites traveled in the wilderness each day, waiting for what God will offer, just enough. And perhaps in this prayer, we are moved from what are so often our prayers, right, for more, to a sense rather of contentment and trust in the God who gives enough. And to rest in that enough, what is sufficient for this day, and where we're tempted to offer prayers for more, to instead, offer this prayer up with an invitation that God would help us to be contented with enough and to live lives of contentment with enough. For as the Israelites gathered, whether they gathered much or they gathered little, they always had enough, it seems, to meet their needs. This is a hard concept, I think, for us to grasp. I mean, we live in a world of Costco. You just walk in the doors of that place. It's not built for enough. It exists for more. For stockpiling and setting away. You can't even buy enough. You always have to buy more than enough. It's not our custom to face that reality, to face each new day with that fresh understanding of dependence. And perhaps it's precisely at that place that we're being invited in this prayer to move from a place of invitation to gratitude, to see differently the blessings that we have, to know contentment and enough in the midst of them. But maybe this is a prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Maybe it's a prayer that also needs to kind of prick at our conscience a bit. It needs to challenge us a bit. As we move from an accent on give bread, God's gifts and gratitude, to an accent on this day, a sense of God's provision for enough, to a sense also of give us, not me, give us this day. Our daily bread, not just my daily bread. And to recognize in this prayer that, in fact, there is a political and economic reality and system that's broken. And there are those for whom this prayer for bread today is a reflection of not having it yesterday and perhaps likely maybe not having it even tomorrow. Invites us also to a different kind of picture in the Gospels that we find, in the Scriptures that we find, of Jesus standing before a crowd of people that have gathered before His teaching. And they're there, and Jesus is teaching, and the day grows long, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, send them away so that they can go into the surrounding country and buy something for themselves to eat. And Jesus responds by saying, you give them something to eat. What is it that you have? And let's pull that together. And in God's hands and in God's ways, those gifts, those blessings that overflow beyond enough, or even those things that seem like barely enough, nevertheless, in God's hands become an overflow of abundance and becomes basketfuls of extra. And what if we prayed this prayer able to see that, with an invitation to see that, allowing our consciences to be perhaps moved and swayed, to move from gratitude to dependence, and through dependence also now to generosity. with a commitment that a Jesus who was committed, a God who was committed to see 5,000 fed, would also be committed to see 6 billion fed. This is deeply committed to that. And here we see this prayer for God to give us this day our daily bread as an extension of the Our Father part at the beginning. A collective sense that we stand all as God's children and yet live in a world in which by some estimations 20% of the world's population uses 80% of the world's material resources. Which of course means that 80% are seeking to eke out life on 20%. Not to mention the fact that perhaps, again, by some estimations, 30% of the world's resources, we use more than 30% of what the world can actually regenerate. That's sustainable or renewable. We have a problem, it seems. And this prayer invites us to look to the one who can resolve it, perhaps. And you know, whether we are always living with that sense of awareness or eyes open to that kind of a reality in our life, I just want to invite us. The church is often so good about that. Engaging and seeking, whether it's for a street meal or different sort of local or global engagements, to stay mindful of that. And yet if even in me saying that, your mind doesn't immediately go to a place or an image in which you can see yourself in the midst of those who lack, then I would just encourage you to think about ways that you might place yourself in that kind of circumstance and reality. That in fact, that can be a deeply life-giving place. I think about that image for me as it sort of causes me to think about those times and those seasons in which I have been blessed, literally blessed, to be in places of incredible depravity and to see in the midst of that yet a real gratitude, thankfulness, and trust. An invitation to wade in and to engage in that place as well. And to know that a God who is generous calls me to be similarly generous. Think about times in which I've been in the Mathari slum outside of Nairobi and in a small one-room school with like 100-degree heat outside, and after the children had gathered for the one meal that they could count on for the day, they just sort of settle, lined up like logs for a nap, sweating there all together in this mass of young humanity. And I think about the contrasting vision of when I get on the plane and I go up 35,000 feet and fly over the Sudan. And which vantage point is in my head? Do I have the 35,000-foot view of these realities, or do I have the intimate, can smell and feel and recognize realities? As we pray this prayer, it's an invitation to live there, a place of God's generosity, a place of God's abundance as well, that here in this prayer is also an invitation to pray this with the pronouns as they are, for us and for our, and not just for me and for my. And to move into that deeper place, that prayer would be that space in which I could actually encounter God's heart. And certainly have it grow in me a sense of gratefulness and thankfulness for the many blessings that I enjoy, that we enjoy from God's hand. To know them as an invitation to trust even more deeply, but perhaps to trust as we go out and join God in His generous blessing to the world as well. And in that language, we recognize that what we most long for, what the world most needs, is a participation in that life. A life that Jesus responds, certainly in this language of bread, and as we gather, not this week, but as we will in coming weeks, gathering around the table, the bread as a symbol of Christ's body broken for that world that He might provide for its needs. In fact, Jesus saying to them and to us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In that phrase and in the table, God injects Himself into the reality of our lives and invites us. He intrudes upon our life and perhaps in that way also awakens us to be able to see in the midst of our own daily realities and needs an invitation to lift our eyes to the God who gives and the God who also invites us and calls us to join Him in the giving. That we might move from gratitude to trust to generosity. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful that in these simple words, a prayer that for many of us perhaps rolls off our tongue, that would in fact just not roll off our lives, but in offering these words, in joining our voices and our vocal cords to it, that you would also join our hands and our feet, our minds and our hearts, that we might grow in gratitude, that we might grow in trust, and Lord, that we might grow in generosity. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, what a gift. Invite us, Lord, into the giving as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.